Tonight I invite you to take your Bible and turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. And tonight I'm going to be reading the first five verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And as you find that place in your copy of God's Word, I invite you to stand with me to honor the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. It says, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you, or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts, and then each one's praise will come from God." Let's pray. Dear Father, tonight, thank you for your word. And again, we just want to pray that you, Lord, turn our minds and our hearts towards you tonight. And Father, give us understanding. And I pray, Lord, you'll speak through this message. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, I want to speak to you about being the best that you can be. Now, be the best that you can be is a fairly simple and routine bit of advice. And you've heard that many times, probably. You might have told your children, be the best that you can be. That's good advice. But if you apply that advice to the Christian life, how would you translate it? If you know the Lord, you're a Christian, and so how would you translate that in the Christian life? I mean, what does it mean for a Christian to be the best that you can be? And I think that the answer to this question is here in this text. Now, in this text, Paul speaks of himself as a servant of Christ and a steward of the mysteries of God. Now, Paul, I think, was saying, whenever you consider me, when you look at me, here's how I want you to look at me. Here's how I want you to consider me. I want you to consider me to be a servant of Christ and a steward of the mysteries of God. Now, Paul could have said, when people look at me, I'd like for them to think about all these scars I have on my body because of the persecution I went through. I'd like for them to think about all those times I went on these long, difficult missionary journeys. He could have said, I want you to think about all the churches I helped start. He helped start numerous churches. He could have said, I'd like for you to remember that nobody ever suffered the way I did, beaten sometimes and left for dead, shipwrecked and all kind of things, having to fight wild animals. He could have said all those things, but he didn't say any of those things. He said, whenever you consider me to be a servant of Christ and a steward of the mysteries of God. And so there's the answer to the question. What does it mean to be the best you can be as a Christian? It means that you consider yourself to be a servant of Christ and a steward of the mysteries of God, and you try to do that. Now, stewardship is a natural function of being a servant. You see, servants serve. If you had a slave, if you had a servant, that person would serve you. That's just the nature of being a servant. That's what servants do. They serve. They're given assignments and responsibility, and they have masters, and so they are stewards of something. They have a responsibility to carry out. You see, the steward always has a higher authority. He's always entrusted with something of value. That's what a steward did. A steward would be given something, some kind of responsibility. Something of value would be placed in the hands of the steward, and then he would have the responsibility to faithfully discharge, carry out that responsibility. And so stewardship is a natural function of being a servant. Now, I want to tell you tonight, I'm so glad to know that I have a master in heaven. I'm glad tonight as a Christian that I know that I have a master who is a loving heavenly Father. You see, tonight I'm a steward, but the one I serve, I know who I serve. I serve the God in heaven. I serve the Heavenly Father, and He's such a loving Heavenly Father. He's such a wonderful master, and yes, He's given me a responsibility. I'm a steward of so many things, but I serve a wonderful master in heaven. And Paul, he understood he served a wonderful master. Paul had more than his share of critics in the church at Corinth. There was one group that said, "You're not really an apostle." They questioned his apostleship. There were some that ridiculed his physical appearance. They said, "You know, old Paul, boy, he writes a bold letter, but you, whenever you see him, he's just a little old scrawny Jew. There's not much to him." And so they ridiculed his physical presence. And they were vicious in their criticism. But Paul was never bothered by that because he said, "Listen, I'm not concerned about your judgment. I'm not concerned, you know, whether you condemn me or approve me, because I have a Father in heaven." And he said, "One day he's going to bring it all to light. One day he'll give a fair judgment on all things and all people." Because he knew the master that he had in heaven. And so as stewards, we can joyfully submit to our master, our heavenly Father. I want to tell you tonight about one of the most interesting people I've ever met in my life. His name was Buford Calhoun. A unique person. I never met anybody quite like him. I met him many years ago, and Buford now is gone. He's in heaven. He's with the Lord Jesus. I believe that with all my heart. But I met him one time whenever I got a call to go to St. Bernard High School and have a prayer. They were having an awards banquet at the high school. They were giving the athletes awards, recognizing the athletes, giving out awards. And so I had the prayer. And after it was all over, this man I'd never seen before came up to me, and he said, "Would you be willing to come to my house and talk to me?" And I said, "I sure would." He said, I'd like to give you a cup of coffee." And I did. I followed the man to his house, lived in a small wood frame house. And we went in, he fixed some coffee, he told me who he was, and he just started talking. And from that day, for years that passed, I come to know Buford Calhoun real well. And he wanted to talk to a preacher or a priest. He had tried to talk to some priests. This is a place that was 98% Catholic. So he had tried to talk to some priests, and he had tried to talk to preachers before, and they basically had told him, "You're crazy." He hadn't had much success. And I started trying to talk to him and witness to him, and I started talking to him about Jesus. And when I started talking to him about Jesus and about being a Christian, he started on this thing about Jesus being a representative from some other planet, some superhuman race. That there's maybe another superhuman race out there on another planet. And so Jesus came from that other planet because he had all this wisdom and power. So, and when Buford told me all that, and I said, "Well, Buford, listen, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says Jesus didn't come from another planet. He came from heaven. He's the Son of God. And he came from heaven because God loves us. He came to this earth and he died for us." And I just told him the gospel. I didn't say, "You're crazy." But I found out that Buford Calhoun couldn't read or write. He's a grown man, probably at that time about in his 40s maybe, or close to 50. He couldn't read or write. And I found out the story of his life. He grew up in Florida. And his father was an alcoholic. His father was a hard man. And his father was, and this is back in the olden days, and, And he was some kind of a logger. And what he would do, he would go to set up a logging camp in a woods. And then they would harvest and cut all those trees all around the logging camp. They'd go in and set up a camp and cut all the timber, clear it out, and then they'd go somewhere else. And Buford Calhoun was a big man, not fat, just big, strong, raw-boned. And he said he was big when he was a kid. And basically, he was just like a slave to his father. So when he was 12 years old, I don't know whether he told his dad or he just ran away or what, but he left. 12 years old, he went to California. And he could not read or write, but he had done all kinds of things. He got into the army and he jumped out of airplanes, and he would lead officers jump out of airplanes and have to go on survivals for a couple of weeks out in the desert and live off the land. He had shot rattlesnakes when storms came in Louisiana. He had caught rattlesnakes out in the West and milked them and sold the venom. He had done a lot of stuff. But I told him, Buford, Jesus loves you. And he listened to me, and I never told him you're crazy. And boy, I drank coffee a lot of times at his house, and we talked. And he couldn't read or write, and he watched all these science fiction movies. That's where he got a lot of his ideas. He'd watch some science fiction movies. I think that's where he got his idea about another planet and the superhuman race and all that. But it was about 6 months from the time I met him, he started coming to the church. He'd come, him and his wife, Kitty. But he kept coming real often. But it was about 6 months after the first time I met him. And one night at midnight, Buford got down by his bed and he prayed and he asked God to save him. He asked Jesus to come into his life, and he did. And he was a rough fella because, man, he had lived a rough life. And he never was real smooth, but he came to know Jesus, and man, it was a powerful witness. He'd go anywhere because he couldn't be intimidated. Because a part of his life before he became Christian, when he was growing up and whenever he's out there roaming all over the country, he used to go in bars and just start fights. He had all kind of hostility built up inside. But he come to know Christ. And Buford, he left home when he was 12 years old because of a father that just treated him like a slave and just used him to get work out of him. And he left home, but he met a heavenly father that loved him. A heavenly father that wasn't mean and cruel, but a heavenly father that he could trust with all of his heart. That's the kind of father that we serve. He's the master that wants us to commit our lives to him and become a steward. Now, our master places one basic requirement upon us as stewards. It's found right here in this Bible, in verse 2, this text. It says, moreover, it's required in stewards that he, one, be found faithful. That's the requirement. That's what our master in heaven, that's what our heavenly Father requires of us, that we be found faithful. A pretty simple requirement. He doesn't require perfection, and I'm kind of glad he doesn't. I don't know how you feel about that, but man, I'm glad God doesn't require perfection. I'd have some problems. He doesn't require equality with others. You see, whenever I preach, he doesn't require me to be like somebody else. He just requires me to be faithful. To study his word, preach his word. He just requires faithfulness. This requirement is fair. You see, being a Billy Graham, not ever a requirement for a preacher. That wouldn't be exactly fair. I think I'd have trouble if God said, listen, now I've called you to preach, I want you to be Billy Graham. But that's not his requirement. His requirement is I be faithful. His requirement is not only fair, it's attainable. You see, everybody here tonight, listen to me tonight, you can be faithful. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you can be faithful. If you serve on a committee, you can be faithful. If you sing in the choir, you can be faithful. If you're a deacon, you can be faithful, and you ought to be. You ought to be faithful if you're going to be a deacon. You can be faithful as a church member. The requirement is simple. It's required of a steward that he be found faithful. And that's what we need in the church. Not super Christians. Not Christians that some kind of on some kind of ego trip and trying to be the better than somebody else. No, just Christians who will say, Lord, you've told me to be faithful. And so whatever I do, I might not do as much as someone else. I might not have the same talents as someone else has. But Lord, I'll use what you've given to me, and I'll be faithful. We're to be faithful stewards of the mysteries of God. That's what it says. Paul says here in verse 1, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, you know, just think about that tonight. It should thrill us and at the same time humble us that God has entrusted us with the mysteries of God. And there is a mystery about God. Let me ask you, have you ever seen God? No, there's a mystery about God. You haven't seen him, but you can believe in him. You can trust him, but you haven't seen him. There's a mystery about this universe. So much we don't understand, but we can believe. The whole thing is a mystery. See, but the Lord has entrusted us. Not everyone can see or solve a mystery, but the Lord has entrusted us to handle mysteries. Can you tell me how God created the world? The Bible says he did it. But can you tell me how he did it? Of course, I don't think you can. Can you tell me why God would choose Israel out of all the people of the earth and all the different races and populations, but God chose Israel, this little nation, to be his chosen people? Can you explain that choice? Can you explain to me how the Lord Jesus Christ, how a virgin conceived him in her womb and gave birth to him? Can you explain the virgin birth? Oh, no, you can't explain that. But it's true. Can you explain to me how Jesus could live a sinless life? How his blood could be applied to your life as a sinner? And how his blood can cleanse every sin you've ever committed, past, present, and future? Can you really explain it? No, there's a mystery to it. How does the blood of Christ cover me in such a way that one day I'll stand before the throne of God and be declared righteous and innocent? It's beyond my understanding. And can you explain how Jesus Christ, he died on the cross, they put him in a grave, but the third day he came back to life. How did that life come back into his body, and how did he come out of that grave? Well, he did, through the power of God. But there's a mystery that's involved in all of it. But how wonderful it is that we have been entrusted with all these mysteries. And listen, I can't go out and tell people how and why and God did all these things. But boy, I sure can tell them he did it. Oh, it's my joy to be able to go out and tell somebody that's lost without Jesus, listen, God loves you, and Jesus died. He lived a sinless life, and he died on the cross, and his blood can cleanse you and save you and forgive you. Oh, I can't explain it, but I can tell them about it. What a privilege it is. And that's what the Lord has done. He's entrusted us to be stewards of his mysteries. Now, inevitably, we should face the question as stewards, how are we doing? How are we doing? Tonight, would you consider yourself to be a servant of Christ and a steward of the mysteries of God? So how are you doing? Are you being faithful? Inevitably, that's the question that we need to really deal with. How are we doing? How are we doing in the matter of witnessing and sharing the gospel? How are we doing? I think I might have told you about the story about this old farmer. It was out in a field in Georgia. He was plowing. And he was, you know, about to plow stocks. Some of you had a little experience in that, or maybe at least you read about it. And he was out there plowing one day, and the wind was blowing him. All of a sudden, a piece of paper just blew, a piece of newspaper. And it got caught on the stock, the plow stock. And so he picked it up, and the first thing he noticed, it was an ad, and it said, "Wanted, somebody with a PhD for a very, very important job, great benefits and a high salary in Washington, D.C. Well, immediately he got to the end of the row. He went straight to the barn, put his mule in the barn, and he went to Washington, D.C. He found the address, and he walked into the place, and there was a woman there that greeted him and said, "What, sir, what can I do for you?" And he had this paper in his hand. He said, "Listen, I just came up here to tell you. I saw this ad, and I just came to tell you, don't depend on me. Don't depend on me." Well, you know, he wasn't qualified. Wanted them to know that. I guess he felt a responsibility just so they wouldn't be waiting around for him to come and fill the position. Don't depend on me. Well, the question is tonight, can God depend upon us? Can he depend upon us to be faithful stewards, to share the gospel of Christ? It is a mystery how he changes people. Oh, it is a wonderful mystery, but oh, it is so real. I know that Jesus saves. I know that he changes people, but can God depend upon us? You know, I do understand the gospel. I do. I understand grace. Oh, I don't understand the depths of it, but I know what it's like to experience the grace of God. I know what it's like to be forgiven. I heard another story about a young preacher that was just out of seminary, and it was his first sermon, and he was really nervous, and he started preaching. And he started preaching, and all of a sudden he just really was, he was getting confused, and he was botching the whole thing, and he was really having a difficult time. And finally, he just stopped. He got so frustrated. He stopped and looked at the people and said, "Do you folks understand what I'm trying to say?" And the people, kind of a strange question, you know. And some of them started nodding their head, kind of, "Yeah," you know. And then there were some nodding their head that way, you know, "No." And so he looked at it. He finally said, "Listen, you know, I don't really understand myself. So those of you who understand, will you please explain it to them that don't understand it?" Oh, I tell you tonight, I do understand the gospel. I do. And I can't explain it, but I can sure tell it. I can tell people the simple gospel. And the simple truth of the matter is tonight, I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We're all sinners. But God loves us. The beautiful, wonderful story is that Jesus came to this earth. He was born of a Virgin Mary. He did live a sinless life. He did die on the cross. They put him in a grave. He came back to life. He's alive forevermore, and his blood cleanses and saves and forgives. I understand that. And I can tell people that. And that's what it's really all about. And this matter of being a steward is to be a steward of the gospel. So how are we doing with that? How are we doing in the matter of loving each other? The Bible says that's what we're supposed to do. Gathering together with other believers and worship and fellowship. Seeking growth and maturity. Obeying the command of God. Obeying God's command, doing what he tells us to do, what we know to do. How are we doing? Because the bottom line is that really being the best you can be in the Christian life is simply just a matter of being a servant of Jesus and a steward of the wonderful mysteries of God. And God's faithfulness to us should be our greatest motivation. God is and always will be faithful. The Bible says he sends the rain on the just and the unjust. 2 Corinthians 1:18, the Bible says God is faithful. He is faithful. He is. Hasn't he been faithful to you? He certainly has to me. He has been faithful. He's a wonderful, gracious, benevolent God. I love the verse of scripture we find in James 1:17 where it says that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift, the sunshine that warms our earth, the rain that nurtures our soil, the bread that we eat, the church that we are able to enjoy, all of it, the salvation that saves our soul, it all comes from God. He is faithful, and he calls us to be faithful. The best that you can be, the best that I can be, is to be a faithful steward. Is there a particular area of your life tonight that maybe you need to improve on as a steward? You know, I don't believe that I've been as faithful as I ought to be in trying to share the gospel with people. I really don't. I'm not particularly proud to say that. I just don't think I've been as faithful as I need to be in trying to share the gospel with people. Are there particular areas that maybe you have not been as faithful as you need to be? How about this whole matter of being a steward in a general sense? You know, God never saved you just for you to join a church. There seems to be a lot of Christians that's pretty content for just being a church member. But I want to tell you, God didn't save you just to join up on a church. He saved you to be a servant of Christ and a steward in the mysteries of God. And we can do that. See, there may be a lot of things you can't do. You might not be able to sing solos. You might not be able to be a great teacher in a Sunday school class. Or you might not be able to travel and go to some foreign land as a missionary. But you know one thing you can do? You can be faithful. Whatever you can do, you can be faithful in doing that. And tonight, will you commit to the Lord and will you say, God, I want to really be the best I can be. I just want to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to be a steward of the wonderful mysteries that you have given to us. And tonight, you may need to come and just profess faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've asked him to come into your heart, into your life. You asked him to become your Savior. And tonight you need to come and profess faith in him. Just say by coming tonight, I do accept Christ as my Savior. I have accepted Christ as my Savior. And take that step now of growth and following the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism and in church membership. I invite you tonight to come. This altar's open. You just may want to come and say, Lord, I just really want to be a servant, and I want to be a good steward, faithful steward. Lord, I just ask you tonight that you will just help us, Lord, tonight to be the best we can be by being your servant, by being faithful stewards. Lord, thank you, God, that you speak to us through your word, Lord. Tonight, help us in our response, Lord, to this message. God, help us tonight to be obedient in our response, to do what you want us to do, what we know we need to do tonight. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. The invitation hymn tonight that we're going to sing is number 540. Tonight, God's spoken to your heart. There's a decision you need to make. You step out and you come tonight. You make it as we sing. 540.